Praise the Lord. All right, Romans, the first chapter, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. I want to talk to you tonight about God. Now, I know it's like throwing a rock in the ocean. Somebody told me tonight, said, well, you said that there was over 200 more nothings. Well, I want you to know tonight, you're blessed. There's 19,000 things that references to God. So we can go a long while, can't we? All right, let's pray. Father, we need your help tonight. For it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And Father, I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would take your servant and take control. God, we're no preacher without the preacher coming down to bless us. And God, we pray that you would just anoint us with your Holy Ghost and power. And God, give us the anointing from heaven, and let the people receive and open up our hearts and our ears, that we might be blessed and ministered to. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We'll start off with a question. How many believe in God? You wouldn't be here if you didn't, probably. Well, let me ask you a question. Second, if I ask you to explain and give your theory or hypothesis about God, I would probably get as many different answers as there are people here tonight. Because everybody has a little different concept of God and who He is and what He is. And everybody sees God differently, or a lot of people see God differently in some different ways. I told you I was going to paint a picture tonight. A little boy was in the primary class in his Sunday school, and the teacher had some extra time, and she said, I want you to draw a Bible character. And this little boy was real busy, and she was walking around the room looking, and she said, Johnny, what are you drawing? He said, I'm drawing God, picture of God. She said, how can you draw a picture of God? Nobody knows just exactly what He looks like. And he said, you'll know what He looks like when I get through. Well, everybody has a different concept. I want us to look at the Word of God here. In Psalms 14, verse 1 said, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, the word God simply means deity or divinity. What does that mean? That means that God is someone to be worshipped. I heard the other day about this man that's in West Texas, member of the Latter-day Saint cult there in West Texas. And said he was sitting in a chair one day and said all of a sudden just relaxing, and well, How many of you have ever asked, how many of you have ever been asked to explain God? And most of us, we apologize because we can't. Correct? Because the world has made him incomprehensible. Vague. And yet, the 19 or 20,000 references about God tells us a lot about who he is. Genesis 1 and 1 said, "In the beginning, God created." The heavens and the earth. And John shows the divinity of Christ by saying this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? And the Word was God. Talking about Jesus. So we know that in the beginning, God. Now, how can you explain beginning? The word "in the beginning" is a word used in infinity. Something that has no end, no beginning, no end. Where's the beginning of this ring? Where's the ending of it? How could you make our finite minds understand about God and creation? Huh? I wish I had a board to write on, but maybe you could get the idea of it. If I wanted to tell you in the beginning God, how in the world would I ever break in that circle of infinity of an eternal God? The only way you could do that was just say, "In the beginning." That's all you could do. Because the only way that we could understand it is the very fact is that God, in some time in the vastness of eternity, he said, "In the beginning," God just made a stop place and said, "In the beginning, God created." Psalms 90 verse 2 said, "Before the mountains was born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." See, evolutionists and scientists say this world is not just 6,000 years old, but this world is millions of years of age, or maybe billions of years old. I have no fault with that. I'm not an evolutionist, but I believe in the God that I serve. And it's okay for them to say that the world is a billion years old or a million years old, because I didn't know this. Whenever it started, God did it. And there's not such a thing as evolution of creation. Genesis 1:1 said, "In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And verse 2 said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, let me tell you something. God does not make... When God made the earth, he did not make it in a void form. When he created and recreated it in the part, he said, and when he had finished, he said, it is what? Good. We believe that between verse 1 and verse 2, that Satan was cast down into earth. And when he was cast down into earth, the Bible tells us that everything began to be broken up. In Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 17, and Ezekiel 28, 12 through 17, the Bible gives us a picture of Satan. He said, and that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed and overthrew the cities thereof. I believe that when Satan came to this whole world and God cast him out of heaven, as we see in 14th chapter of Isaiah and Ezekiel, I believe that this whole world became a chaotic void with water, the earth standing in and out of the water, and darkness upon the face of the earth. And God came back, and after chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, and God had to restore it in that part. And the Bible tells us that he said, and God created. Now the word created is a Hebrew word, and it's bara, which means to make a new or a beginning or into existence without the use of pre-existing material. In other words, is that the first word is that when God made it, he made it out of nothing. Spoke it into existence. And then the second one, word is asa, meaning to make something out of something that already existed. See, when he in verse 2, when he came back and made the world, he made the world was already in existence. He just kind of recreated it. He made it something that was void. And seven times between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 verse 4, the word created is used, and it's making out of something out of nothing, or making something that has already existed. So see, God has always existed, and when the very beginning of time, God made whatever was made. And it don't bother me that they say a million or a billion or whatever years they want to put on this, because I do know this, brother, when God created the heavens and the earth and all that, brother, he had a handiwork in it, and brother, he made it, and he set it in position, and he did the work. Now let's talk about the eternal God. I've just kind of laid a foundation. Now, what is eternal God? Now, I told you already it had 20,000 direct references. And yet, if you listen to some of these modernist preachers or that are modernist, you won't really know what God is. Why can't people just believe what God said about himself? Who knows more about you than you do? And God's word clearly expels and clearly explains what God is and who he is. And the Bible tells us that the word of God tells us what he is like. and what he can do and what he cannot do, and what he has done and what he is yet to do. And if we just believe that, in the preambles of the Assemblies of God, we have 16 fundamentals. The first one is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now the word inspiration means God literally breathed upon the Word of God. That I saw a film one time showing about how they would write down, and it said that when they begin to translate the Word of God and the God, that they would write one word and lay it down, lay the pen down, and they would check that word and against the original, and then they would write one more word and they'd lay the pen down and they'd check it, because I want you to know that, folks, that God's word is infallible, without error. And the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and God breathed upon them. And second preamble, one true God revealed himself in the eternal self-existence, self-revealed as the I Am. Now, the hardest thing that I've ever come up against to try to explain is the triunal Godhead that we worship. Now, we're not talking about three gods. And yet, at the same time, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And each one of them has a particular ministry, and yet all three of them work in complete conjunction and unity together to make up one Godhead. I know that sometimes people have a little problem with that, because in Deuteronomy 6:4, when the Jews began to pray, and they did the Shema, and the Shema was that they quoted this every time that they prayed. They quoted this: "Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." They started off with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And yet the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 8:6, it says that God is the Father in Isaiah 9:6 and Hebrews 1:8 and John 20:28 said God is the Son, and in John 14:16 said God is the Holy Spirit. How can you explain it? Well, God's in the Bible said in the beginning God created. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. Now the word Elohim means gods. Plural. The word God, if I had a black board here, I'd write it. But the word, the singular word is El, God, in Hebrew. And yet, the Bible said, in the beginning, God's created the heaven and the earth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit moved upon the face of the earth, the Bible tells us. And in John 17, when he's praying, this is the Lord's prayer. He said, "Father, that they might be one, even as we are one. Plural. And in marriage, the Bible said, the two shall be one, hopefully. When we begin to understand God, the Bible said God is an invincible God. Now, when we term the word invincible, we should not think of it altogether in terms of substance. Now, we try to put God into the factor of human beings. But the Bible tells us the Spirit is like that. We cannot comprehend altogether, but we must know that when we talk about God, that God is incomprehensible in a way, and yet he's to be understood. When he talks about God, he talks about God, that God is a far a distance. See? The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:18, he uses the Greek word hora, and it means that no man has seen God at any time. You read that? No man has seen God at any time. And how in the world can they say that no man has seen God when the Bible clearly states that there have been people that have seen God? The word here is hara, which means that God has not been fully comprehended or fully understood by the human eye of person. See? I'd like to say that I completely understood God, but I can't say that because a lot of people, when they get to heaven, then people say, "Boy, I'm going to heaven one of the days. What's going to happen?" Well, I'm going to see the streets of gold, and I'm going to see the gates of pearl, and I'm going to see all the mansions and all the beauty of it. I want you to know, folks, that I believe when I get to heaven, the greatest thing that's going to happen in heaven is that I'm going to have a complete revelation of who God is. I don't know, I might have time to dangle my feet in the river of life. I don't know, I could have. But I do know this, that brother, that we, the Bible said that we don't know much about all the things that God has given us in the Bible. It does not begin to tell us the completeness of the mighty God that we serve tonight. Now, the woman came to the well. And Jesus told her, talked to her a little bit. He said, "I won't go into all this because it's too long." But Jesus said, "Go get your husband. And she said, "I have no husband." He said, "That's right." And she recognized him to be the Lord. And she said, "We Samaritans, we don't worship like you Jews, because a Samaritan was a half-breed. And the Jews would walk all the way around to keep him going into the Samaritan area because they thought that Samaritans were nobodies." And she said, "We worship in that mountain But you said that he that worship God must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. What about the Spirit? Is the God that we serve somebody floating along? The Bible tells us we are made in the likeness of God. What did he mean when he said we are made in the likeness of an almighty God? Have you ever thought about when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that the Bible tells us, he said, a spirit does not have flesh and bone as such as you have. You with me? And when Jesus was resurrected, he still had a body, but he had a glorified body. And that same Jesus could walk through walls and close doors. But he still had a fleshly body. And the Bible tells us that when we die and God raises us up, and the Bible said, and the carnal shall put on immortality, and the carnal shall put on incarnality. He said, then shall be brought to light, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy grave, where is thy sting? I got that mixed up, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Do you know that when we're resurrected, I got to thinking about this while I was studying for this sermon. Do you reckon our mansion doors are going to have, we talk about only righteous people are going to be there. Do you reckon that we're going to even have doors? Come on. And yet the Bible tells us we are a spirit. Now, turn with me to John 5:37. I'm gonna read this to you. I probably won't try to misquote it like I've been doing here. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You mean God has a shape? If you got one of these King James, it does. Good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. We've not seen, he said, no man has seen God, and nobody has seen his shape. So we know that God is a spirit, and yet, though he is a spirit, he has a shape. He's not just floating around. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve walked with him in the garden. Adam and Eve walked with him in the garden. He didn't flutter between them. They walked with him in the cool of the evening every day. God would come down and God would Walk with them, socialize with them. So we know that God is more than just a spirit. The Bible tells us in Genesis 18 that Abraham made a dinner for God. I'm not going to go into a lot of these. I'm just going to give you a lot of scriptures. You have to write them down if you want to want them. Genesis 32, 24 through 30, the Bible said that Jacob wrestled with God. In Exodus 33:11-23, the Bible said, and Moses talked with God face to face. The Bible tells us in Exodus 24:9-11, the 94 elders of Israel had a banquet with God in Mount Sinai. In Joshua 5:13-15, Joshua and all Israel saw God with a sword. Samson's mother and father, Manoah and his wife, and Judges, they talk with God, and God told them how to raise Samson as a Nazarite. David, in 1 Chronicles 21:16-17, David met the Lord, and the Lord came down and talked with David when he had numbered Israel, and God was in his anger because of his unbelief. Job, in Job 6, he met God. In Isaiah 61:1-13, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Amos, in Amos 9:1, saw the Lord standing upon the altar. Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, and about that in the heaven, let's look at God's body parts. Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. And God said, you can't see my glory, because nobody can see me and live. He said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just put you in the crevice of this rock, and I'll put my hand over you. And when I have passed by, you can see my back parts. Is that what it said? How many believes that Jesus has a back part, he has a front part? The Bible tells us in Genesis 6:6 and Genesis 28:21, it said, and when man began to sin, the Bible said, and that the heart of the Lord was grieved. The heart of God was grieved at their wickedness. The Bible tells us in Exodus 31:18, the Bible said that he talks about his hand and fingers. And in Psalms 8:3-6 and Revelation 5:1-7. And then the Bible tells us in Psalms 18:8-15, the Bible talks about his nostrils. When Israel began to sin and got wicked before the Lord, God said, don't you even offer up a sacrifice, for they are a stench in my nostrils. He's got a mouth. Numbers 12:8 said, and he spoke to Moses mouth to mouth. You know, KHCB, is it KHCB, the program, has a sign on the back of your car, God hears. I wanted for a long time, I never have called them, but I'd like to call them and tell them, God speaks too. Isaiah 30:27 talks about his lips and tongue. Ezekiel 1:27 and Ezekiel 24:10, the Bible tells about his feet. The Bible said one of these days all things are going to be put under his feet. Eyes, eyelids, and sight in Psalms 11:4, Psalms 18:24, and Psalms 33:18. It talks about his eyes. And Psalms 29 and Revelation 10:3-4, it talks about his voice. And Genesis 2:7 talks about his breath. Psalms 18:6 talks about his ears. Psalms 11:7 talks about his countenance. Daniel 7:9-14 and Daniel 10:5-19 talks about his hair, his face, and his arms. Ezekiel 1:26-28 and Ezekiel 8:1-4 talks about his joints. The Bible tells us God is omnipotent. We're going to change the deal now. We've gone through that. Now let's talk about something a little more. God is omnipotent. What is omnipotent? He's is present. Whenever you need him, he is present. Now, God does not come off the throne and sit down with you and he is present. What does he do? He sends his presence. Huh? How many of you have ever been in church and felt the presence of God? How many of you ever been in home and felt the presence of God? That's even greater. Walking, talking, driving. I told you about one night I'd got through preaching and I was having to go to work and it was about 11 o'clock at night and I was so tired and my car had a little headrest and I had my head back on the car and I was praying. And I was going along and I was praying right down by 610 where it makes a curve. And as I was praying and I just saying, "Oh God, I love you, Lord, and you're going to have to help me tonight, Lord. You know how tired I'm physically in my body. Lord, I need a touch from God." And all of a sudden I realized that there were some eyes on me. And I looked around and there was two policemen going. But they were trying to figure out what in the world is that man doing. Wherever you are, God is on the throne, but he can make his presence felt anywhere you are. Come on. Wherever you are, God is present. The Bible said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, what? There am I in the midst of them." Thank the Lord when I need him, he's there. There's been times when I felt like, "God, where are you?" But I know that the Word of God said that if we call upon the name of the Lord, he's going to be there where we are. Then the Bible tells us God is omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. God knows. You can't hide it from God. I've had people say, "If you're sick, don't claim it." Well, how can I say, "Lord, I'm not sick," when he knows I'm sick? Now you figure that out. God knows all about what's going on. And the Bible said, and he has returned to heaven, and he's making a mansion for you and me. And he's preparing a wedding supper. And one of these days, we're going to have part in it. Somebody said, well, no, I don't believe in that. I believe that we are predestined. You know what I believe, if I believed in that doctrine? Why have churches when you're going to make heaven anyway? Come on. Why should a preacher get up and preach and all of this kind of thing when if you're predestined to go to heaven, you're going to make heaven anyway. And if you're not, then it don't do you any good anyway if you come. See, there's not such a thing as predestination. What we call it is the pre-knowledge of God. See, God knows who's going to be in heaven. Come on. And every one of us, listen, and every one of us are free moral agents. What does that mean? That means that we have a will, and God is a kind God that will not overcome our will if we don't want him to. I've known people that I prayed for. That never turned around. Never turned their life around to serve God. And I've known some people that were just as mean as they could be, and God did a glorious work in their lives. Why? Because we have invited him. The Bible said, as many as received him. Received what? Christ. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, the secret is we must receive Christ or we're going to be lost. And if we refuse to receive Christ, then we're going to be damned and go to hell because we have chosen our destiny. Whoops. All right, God is omnipotent. Omnipotent means all powerful. Have you ever known anybody that their God was a dwarf? I used to have a friend that went to a certain church that didn't believe in divine healing. He said, we don't believe in God. All that thing passed away when the disciples disappeared. That there's no such thing as healing today. I said, well, did you pray? He said, yeah. I said, what did he pray for? If God can't hear today, if God can't meet our needs, brother, if God can't perform a miracle, there's no need to pray. But I'm a firm believer that, brother, that God, the Bible said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Martha came out, and when Jesus arrived 4 days late, and said, Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus would not have died. Jesus said, he shall live again. She said, oh yes, Lord, in the resurrection. See, she went from the past all the way to the future. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. When I was in Israel, we stopped by Lazarus' tomb. It was a cave, and they've made a new wall, a new hole through it, where it wouldn't be so far back. I can't imagine that Jesus stood at that tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And all of a sudden, brother, here come Lazarus. And God said, "Unloose him." Why? Because I am the resurrection and the life. Brother, most of the time when I preach a funeral, I stand at that graveside and I tell the people, there shall be a resurrection. This person might be Lord in the grave, but there's going to be a resurrection. I don't care whether he's done good or whether he's done evil. The Bible says there shall be a resurrection both of the good and of the and of the evil ones. Why? Because Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live also." Hallelujah. I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to leave 18,500. How can we know what God's like? How many would like to have a better picture of God? Let's see your hands. Do you know who God reveals his secrets to? I start to say that God reveals his secrets to those that he loves, but the Bible tells us that he loves everyone. The Bible, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "It's that I have done from my youth up." And finally the Lord said, "Go sell what thou hast and give to the poor and follow me." And about that he went away sorrowful, because why? He had great riches. And the Bible said, and Jesus loved him. This didn't mean that he served him. He said he loved him in spite of his decisions.